Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
February 14th, 1998.
Sixth grade.
Dear diary.
Dear Jesus.
Dear sweet asswad.
Adults sharing the embarrassing things
they created as kids.
So I wrote poems about masturbation.
Before an audience
of total strangers.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm the only normal one in my entire family.
Mom, you can't read this.
These are the stories hidden inside
the pages of our past.
You're listening to the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. And remember that new kid in school? Messy hair, wearing a Final Fantasy III t-shirt, and seemingly from some far-off distant land? But you probably didn't know much else about him. He was just, you know, that odd new kid. But if you're that odd new kid every year, because your parents are always moving, it can be a tough label to shed. Well, that was the case for today's reader, Jason, who is stuck in a perpetual state of new kid.
I change schools every year since the fifth grade. So whenever you go to a new school, and they all have these kind of social, like, patterns set up, and it doesn't really change a whole lot, and you end up being the new kid every single year. It's like, what are you? You know, where do you belong? I don't know.
Not knowing where he fit in gave Jason a healthy cynicism about the popular kids at school.
Abercrombie kids were the apex of the structure. They were this class of people that have always been popular. There's never a time when they have not been popular, sort of like they were born into it. If you didn't get on board with that group early on in your life, like, there's no chance that you're getting on board later on.
Convinced his high school serfdom was inescapable, Jason went in search of a place where he could feel more powerful. And he found that place in the pages of his private journal. That's where Jason wrote his true feelings, but as someone else, a confident, pompous alter ego. Here's Jason, recorded at the Spider House Ballroom in Austin, bringing to life that powerful alter ego in his high school journal.
I was also, like, really in the Shakespeare and mythology, and that really didn't help matters at all. I tried to make do. Then, you know, the movie Braveheart came out. And that was my shit. I saw that. And, like, just seeing that for the first time, that, like, I really connected with it. And I just understood that time so much that I felt that, like, I should have been born in the 17th century in Scotland, like, of, like, upper, like, nobility class, like a king. It would have been nice to be a king. It's like everyone else was weird. I was right, but... But, you know, I sort of sublimated that, like, desire in me and into my journal so much that I started writing as a Scottish king. And I had to have a name, and I really thought about it a lot and started putting names together. But the most Scottish name I could come up with was Simon McSimmons. So that's what I chose. So this is the diary of Simon McSimmons. Second of December at 14:21 hours. Shakespeare's legacy is being destroyed. In the faraway land of Manchester, that's England for the Americans out there. The war for Shakespeare is starting.
young warriors of freedom, it is the key to the door of utopia. I have more knowledge than adults. Look at them. They are nothing. They are so old. I will be great. I will be adored. I will exhumed.
So exhumed is a stage direction. A lot of Renaissance theater text. It just means leave the stage. That's all it really means. But I thought that that was like a better way, like more classy way to end every journal entry I wrote as Simon, just with a little exhumed, like instead of like just flipping the page or saying, I'm done now. I don't know if y'all may know this, but like feeling like you're like a Scottish king doesn't make you a lot of friends. But I felt like I was, and the people that like I felt like didn't understand me, they were just serfs. They were just like dumb serfs. Diary of Simon McSimmons. 14th of January, 1631 hours. Dance, my puppets, dance. Watch me from below, pulling your strings to and fro. Why? Just because I can. I am the puppeteer. I stand, a towering figure, tall on my corded, intense leg muscles. I am one of the beautiful people, able to do beautiful things. I consider myself a deity. Exhumed. I had just moved to a new school and I met some kids, and I called them the Abercrombie kids. And they kind of teased me pretty hard about it, about the way I looked and dressed. I had long hair and, you know,
Diary of Simon McSimmons. 22nd of March at 1722 hours. Fucking hate Abercrombie guys. What do you call them? A clan? A species? Bunch of meatheads. Mindless idiots that watch television shows like Jackass, Fifth Wheel. Ugh, fucking hate Abercrombie guys. Exhumed. Diary of Simon McSimmons, 23rd of March at 23:46 hours. The Abercrombie species. Standing off to the side and bitching about them isn't gonna do a damned thing. Perhaps we can band together. I'm a jack of all trades, but that implies positivity, which also implies friends, and I really don't have either. I do have to say one thing about Abercrombie girls. They are fucking hot. Which, it makes me wonder, is that the reason I don't like them? Because I can't be one of them. Am I jealous? Maybe all of this animosity stems from a need to be part of a group, for people to be part of my group. No. No, I hate them. I am, no. Abercrombie! Exhumed!
You know, I'm still me, so I still want friends. So my next birthday, my parents were out of town, so I decided to have a party.
And slowly the Abercrombie kids started showing up, and then a lot of them showed up. One of the Abercrombie guys brought a guitar and just sang the same Nirvana song over and over again. But everyone loved it, and I loved it. This feels great. I made this happen. And I didn't really even think about Simon. And that was really, it was very satisfying in this very gratifying moment. So the party ends and it's still like really late in the night. One of my friends was still there and we're sort of cleaning up. There were things missing from my, there were some of my things missing. I had a PlayStation and the controllers for that thing are very expensive. They're like $50 or $60. And both of my controllers were missing. And my new NFL Game Day 1995 was missing. And my dad's scotch that was in this little carafe in the living room, that was like empty. And I just really just like, oh my God, like these people stole stuff. The next day I asked around about it and it was this weird pact like that only mobsters have. I was like, I don't know anything. I don't know. So that was sort of the moment that I realized I will never be a part of these people's lives and I'll never matter to them. When I wrote As Simon during this time, he was very much fire and brimstone. He was very wrathful.
Diary of Simon McSimmons. 4th of February at 1741 hours. I was a young boy once. Before this utter catastrophe. I don't have a clan anymore. The closest thing I had was in theater, and even then I was a renegade. A social renegade. You are no longer my puppet people. Now that I have been cast into the street, for I'm the puppeteer, the man who cares not for his players. It's over. A wisp of a man when I could have been a king. I have nothing left. Exhumed.
It did suck pretty bad. I actually wrote something like as me and not Simon. And I hadn't really done that in a while. I realized that you don't really need to be that other person, like if you're just yourself. Dear diary, the past 6 months have not been the happiest in my life. As hard as I try, I just can't be happy by myself. Maybe I have a God complex. Maybe I can't be happy without a worshiper. I fucking hate the Abercrombie guys. What the fuck am I doing to myself? Maybe the reason I'm fighting so hard is because I feel like a failure. Looking around, you know, really life it doesn't discourage me like I thought it would. I'm actually more content right at this moment than I have been. As long as I have a nice quiet place to escape and write. Exhumed.
That was Jason Oliver reading his Scottish King diary with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness in Austin at the Spider House Ballroom. And stick around, there's more to the story as we chat with today's reader in our postmortem, Fide. We caught up with Jason recently and asked him if he ever shared his Scottish King alter ego with anyone beyond his journal.
This really was dormant inside of me until I wrote. While I was at school, I really was still trying to play the game. I still really wanted friends. It's only when I would sit down and reflect on things that Simon would actually come out. And I really never told anyone about it until I did Mortified.
So he never shared Simon McSimmons with anyone. But in Jason's mind, how real was his alter ego?
Simon was a valid part of me. You know, it's easy to kind of look back on it now and sort of write it off as like this kind of weird kind of time I went through. It would be easy to rationalize that, but I felt like he represented a real part of me. I think that Simon gave me this confident way to express myself that I couldn't do in real life. It was a way to say the things I wanted to say to people that I would never say.
And Jason believes his lack of confidence socially didn't just come from always being the new kid at school.
I was kind of raised as an only child, and I was very self-sufficient. Like, pretty early in my life, I would just walk home after school and just let myself in. My parents were both working late, generally. But what that means is you spend a lot of time by yourself. Then whenever you're sort of introduced to these problems in high school with other people, you know, it's really hard to have that foundation of knowledge to know how to deal with social issues. I don't feel like I had the mental tools ready to deal with very many problems.
Which led to the creation of Simon McSimmons. But when did Simon's reign end?
There was never really a final moment where he'd stopped existing. Basically, he just kind of drifted off. I think as I was able to deal with problems more and more in life and had more experiences and could draw on that experience, I needed Simon less and less. And, you know, my inspiration for these, for him, may be, you know, from like mythology and King Lear and Macbeth, who have terrible endings. Those plays don't end well. Simon never really had that in him. He never got in a fiery Viking funeral ship and sailed off towards the horizon. Like, I never gave that to him. He just sort of faded ghostly.
As Jason graduated high school and let go of his alter ego, he found himself in a new rigid class system that suited him well, one where everyone around him felt like the new kid, too.
At that time, the Marine Corps provided this social structure for me that I desperately needed. It didn't matter that I wasn't a cool kid from fifth grade on. All you have to do is do your job and, you know, not be a screw-up.
Now, before we let Jason go, we had one hypothetical question to ask him. If Simon McSimmons was ever invited to give a TED Talk about the pressures of being the new kid in school, what wisdom would he impart?
His whole philosophy would be, you're better than everyone else. Why do you care what they think? I think he would just walk up there and is like, what are you doing? Care not for the masses and what they think. They are sheep. They are sheep people. Exhumed.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the new and improved GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. As many of you know, the Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PureX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Of course, if you'd like to sponsor this podcast too, email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Briselli, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, and Snake Snake Snakes. Additional thanks to the Spiderhouse Ballroom, Will Dwyer, Michelle Dahlenberg, Katie Moore, Erica Lees, Mike Grotman, Jessica Leith, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.
This has been the Mortified Podcast. Exhumed.